from the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington. Exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com. You're listening to the Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
How funky was that?
This is far too cool for this show.
If you were a superhero, Vinny, that's what I picture your music being.
Dude, if I was a superhero, if I was a drug dealer, if I was anything worthwhile, that's what my music would be. And yes, I just said drug dealers are worthwhile.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not the best choice of words.
Luckily, you don't have children yet. It's Brian and Vinny Show, everybody. It's January 7, 2014. Here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. All of you out there listening right now have absolutely no idea how much it sucks having to name files early in the new year. I have screwed up naming about 65 files over the last 8 days, and I'm sick of it. So I'm ready for January to be over. I'm ready for 2014 to be in full effect. So I apologize if some shows haven't been working when you try to download them off the front page of late. Doing my best, everybody. We've added a Listen Live link on the front page. It's going to make my life a lot easier in a lot of ways. I won't have to put up 8 million reminders of how to listen to the show. If you scroll down the right-hand side of the page, there's that giant microphone. There is a deal underneath with all the phone numbers, Skype line, all that sort of good stuff. And boom, big letters, Listen Live. All you have to do is click it, and it's on. Nothing more to do. I could not make it any easier. Go up there and click Listen Live, which you've all obviously already done because you're listening live. But that is now the easy way to do it. So hopefully everyone is taking advantage of that. If you have friends that you want to introduce to the website, hey, that's the place to go. The Listen Live link. Now, when these shows aren't live, for the time being, what we're going to be airing 24 hours a day is the latest free shows off the front page. So there's a Wrestling Observer Live up there. There's the last free Brian and Vinny show. And there is the last free Wrestling Observer Radio. And this show just happens to be free as well, so it'll be up on the stream later on tonight. So if you want your buddies to check it out and join the fun, direct them over to that Listen Live link. Direct them over to WrestlingObserver.com, and maybe you'll make some new online friends. Or maybe you guys will have something new to talk about because you can listen to the shows together. So that is the newest addition to this whole thing right here. Which means that many of you are probably very sad that the old page where you could see how many people were listening and where they are at is no longer being utilized.
Aww.
But fear not. I've got it right here in front of me.
Hey!
If you really care, I can tell you where everybody is listening from at this moment. We have 11 countries right now, for those of you that are gravely concerned. And there's all sorts of little bubbles on the map all over North America, as well as Central America, believe it or not, Puerto Rico, and a bunch of Euros, and some folks from Australia. So, a lot of people listening, Vinny. So, I hope you've got your game face on.
Do I?
I don't know.
Do I? I might. Well, let's do SmackDown then.
All right.
SmackDown was fun this week, everybody.
Really?
I know I take a lot of flack for being down on this show almost every single week, but this is a fun show.
I don't want to say it was not a fun show. But I was pretty annoyed in that opening segment right there. How many times have I seen a SmackDown show where a tag team has a match, a third guy runs in on one team, and this leads to, guess what? A six-man!
That was not very original.
That's exactly what happened on this and every other SmackDown I think I've ever watched. Now, luckily, the wrestling was good, so I'm not going to complain that much. But I am getting bored with the booking.
It is the same show every week, yes. So the Shield came out for a promo. Ambrose said that everyone was trying to play divide and conquer with them, but it would not work. Reigns said everyone was talking about the weak link in the group, but they all knew who the weak link was. And then he looked Ambrose right in the eye and said, there is none. And then Rollins said they would all come together and dominate, and they put their arms around each other, and they were a solid unit by the end of this. Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns wrestled the Usos, and the real star of the show is Dean Ambrose on commentary. He was great here. Some highlights. He explained that he and Reigns were tight. They had closed every bar and saloon between here and Singapore. I'm sure he He stole that line from some legend. I don't know who, but it was great. They asked him if he wanted to unify the IC and US titles, or they asked him if he thought that was a good idea, and he said no, because he did not want to carry two belts around, because he has a lot of stuff.
He likes to travel light.
Yeah.
Join the club.
Cole said that Dean
By the way, on the topic of that, Elimination Chamber. There's probably going to be a unification match for the US and the IC titles.
Oh,
luckily for Ambrose, I don't expect him to win.
Yeah, do him a favor.
Big E is a big, strong guy. He can carry around two belts.
Yes, Dean will have even less stuff to carry around. So Cole said that Dean was afraid of Big E, and Dean said Cole was bullying him and needed to be a star. I laughed so hard. Somewhere in here, I believe he also became the first guy on WWE TV to mention that Roman Reigns had played football at Georgia Tech. They had a great tag match. Or at least it was turning into a great tag match. And the Usos made their comeback and they teased a double dive when Dean attacked for the lane DQ. This match deserved a finish. Then CM Punk ran down. And the babyfaces cleaned house. And the Usos music played. Unfortunately, CM Punk did not dance to it. And as my notes here read, and we'll get to this, but surprisingly, nobody came out to make it a six-man tag. That's what we thought as we headed to break.
You were wrong.
Well, they went from there to the primetime players, and then Vicky came out, and then they went to break.
Sure.
And then she made the announcement on the app. But point being, yes, by the end, they booked the six-man tag you're all expecting.
I like that they've got a taped show that apparently on Friday nights, somewhere, somehow, they start airing stuff so that it seems like it's live on the app. I'm going to have to get the app and watch what they do during SmackDown one of these days. It's fascinating to me. That's going to a lot of trouble. You know what I mean?
To make your taped show feel live?
Yeah. I mean, they have to go out of their way. First, they got to tape all the app stuff on Tuesday. Then they got to have some poor fella that's watching SmackDown on Friday night at WWE headquarters. He's got to have everything queued up. And he's got to make sure that he puts it all on the app at the exact right time so that it feels like it's happening in real time. Now you know why the WWE Network needs a million followers. They're paying people to do that.
Well, that's true. So the primetime players, they had a bunch of videos here of guys making their New Year's resolutions. And the primetime players had two resolutions. One was, to make a long story short, they wanted to make a positive difference in the world. And two, they wanted to improve their macaroni recipe.
Because it's lacking.
Yeah.
By the way, going back to The Shield, when they did that promo at the beginning of the show, I mean, clearly they're doing a heavy-handed dissension tease. I mean, it's no secret. The Shield's going to break up everybody. And what's funny about it is, it's going to be pretty big. I don't think it's going to be as big as Triple H and Batista, but it's going to be pretty big. And the funniest thing is, they know that a slow burn works the best. Because that's what they've been doing for months now. They're doing a slow burn to a Roman Reigns big-time babyface turn. They know it works. Yet, they almost never do it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because they feel that, like, you save it for the big time. You save it for the guys that matter. I presume that's the point. But you know how many tag teams and storylines and angles have just, like, out of nowhere, they just do a 180.
Miz and Kofi?
Miz and, well, that did about, that did a
540. Full spins, yes.
Is that a, yeah, I mean, how many times have you seen a team just breaks up? A team just gets together. Two guys get mad at each other. This feud starts. This feud ends. And meanwhile, they know what works. They just, I guess, save it.
Most of the time, they just don't care.
And they're doing the split with the Shield exactly like you should. And meanwhile, Miz and Kofi are still having a feud that nobody cares about because it sucks. So they don't
Which
care.
Which is a good reason.
Sure.
Truth wrestled Fandango. Summer Rae's disgust at Truth's music was awesome. She was horrified at this noise.
Well, you know, I agree with her. I hate to, not just the music, but Summer Rae is a dancer.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to this later, but there was a segment where Xavier Woods called out all the girls, and they came out and they danced and all this and that. We'll get to it. But the point is, they tried to get the Funkadactyls to dance to Truth's music. What a failure that was. It was impossible for them. They absolutely could not dance to Truth's music. So then they switched it over to Somebody Call Him a Mama, and then everything was all right. But yeah, his music sucks, and you can't dance to it.
So Xavier Woods was on commentary talking about his pursuit of a PhD. He said he would be the first wrestler ever to have a doctorate. And JBL disagreed, bringing up Dr. Tom Pritchard and Dr. Jerry Graham. Should have said Dr. Wagner while he was at it. So, yeah, they went like 2 minutes.
Doc Young.
They went about 2 minutes, and Woods climbed up on the announce desk. He called it the Funkadactyls. The best part of this was he put on JBL's hat and danced on the desk. That was actually more entertaining than the Funkadactyls. So, yes, Fandango got distracted, and then he got beat. Because that's what happens in WWE. Guys get distracted, and they lose. Babyface had a dance party.
Two great finishes in a row, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Xavier almost came off as a heel here. He's talking about his PhD, and he's like, you know what percentage of people get PhDs? About 2%. You know how many people are WWE superstars? Even smaller. He's talking about how special and great he is. I was like, man, what a dick.
Well, you're not wrong. Renee interviewed Big E Langston. Big E talked about Mark Henry. He said Henry was looking for a wrestling match when he confronted Brock Lesnar on Raw, not a brawl. Really?
He's an NCAA wrestling star.
I guess
champion,
so.
You know?
I suppose so.
Then who else would you want a wrestling match with?
He would not want to be Brock Lesnar when Mark Henry came back. As it turned out, as we learned on Raw, it was just fine to be Brock Lesnar when Mark Henry came back. Curtis Axel appeared here. He was laughing at what happened to Henry and laughing about what he was going to do to Big E later. And Big E said, later on, you won't be laughing at all.
I'm the biggest Big E fan around, except for Todd Martin. But this promo sucked. I have seen Big E Langston do a million great promos in NXT, and this one was like, they handed him a script, they said, read this script, make sure you read it exactly like it's printed here on this paper, and act mean.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. It was so unnatural,
it was soulless.
It sucked.
Yeah.
And I like Big E, and he's good.
You know, my fiance watches Snapped, and there was an episode of Snapped this weekend I watched with her, where there was a key person in this murder case, a witness and long story, but his name is Todd Martin, and every time they mentioned it on the show, Todd Martin was the key to this case. I laughed every single time. We had the Brothers Rhodes against the Wyatt family. They edited this to make it look like, the lights, the Rhodes brothers were out there, and they did the Wyatt's thing with the sheet mask in front of the screen and the scream. It all went black. And then about 2 seconds later, the lights came up and Harper and Rowan were in the ring, like they had teleported there. There was no Bree Wyatt. There was no Daniel Bryan. They said Bree Bella had been in contact with Bryan, and she knew he was okay. But that was all she knew.
It's going to be a hell of a season of Total Divas.
That stretches credibility. So the match was good. We've seen these guys have a dozen matches, probably better than this. I talked about Cody's moonsault off the cage at the Madison Square Garden house show. Said it was a highlight of his career. So it was, like I say, the match as a whole was good, but nothing special. But then they had a finish I don't think I've ever seen before, and it was awesome.
It was great.
They're beating up Cody. He's fighting and fighting to make the hot tag, and they keep dragging him back to the ring. And finally, Rowan goes to whip Cody in the ropes, and as Cody is whipped, Goldust is able to blind tag himself in for the hot tag. So Cody hits the ropes, and Rowan hits him with a backdrop, but then Cody runs in basically under his own brother and pushes Rowan into the ropes and schoolboys him for the win. That was the whole hot tag. That was awesome.
I actually, I was watching the match, and I don't know what happened, but Cody's selling, and I looked down, and I looked up, and the match was over. And at first I thought, oh my God, they did one of those old finishes where the guy who's selling, he never makes a hot tag, and he gets the win. So I rewound it, And then what they did was actually even better.
Yes.
Goldust got the blind tag. His brother took the big back truck, and then boom, he was in there with the cradle for the pin.
Awesome.
That was a great finish.
That was awesome. Miz had a New Year's resolution.
Have you noticed, by the way, in these last few matches that Goldust is doing all the work?
I've noticed he's been awesome since he came back.
I mean, he's doing all the work in the storyline way.
I see.
Cody sells, and his big brother has to come in and save him over and over again.
I had not noticed that.
I don't know if it's just, you know, because Goldust makes a great hot tag or if there's something to it, but if they're going to do a match at WrestleMania.
You know what? I have noticed, because I looked at it the other way, because Goldust is also a great babyface in peril, mm-hmm. and he has not been doing that lately. That had occurred to me. Basically, Goldust does everything great. That's what it comes down to. So anyway, Miz. He had a New Year's resolution. He said he made the same resolution every single year.
To be awesome?
No. Did you not watch the show?
I didn't see this.
Okay.
I have no idea how.
Well, it was not long. You're close, though. His resolution was to be a better person than he had been the year before. And that way, we were always seeing him at his best, and he would always be awesome. What a depressing concept. Think of every time you've seen The Miz over the past 5 years. And every time you saw him, that was him at his best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oksana versus Nikki Bella. Before the match, Oksana didn't get an entrance, but she did get a good 15 seconds to preen and pose in her cat suit. My brain basically ceased to function. And then when it came to, they were wrestling. It was horrible. Especially when Oksana was on her hands and knees, crawling around like a cat, and occasionally throwing kicks at Brie.
Oh, dear Vinny.
Yeah. Brie came back, won with a shock treatment. That was it.
Even Steven! You know what
really,
mad
Oksana's
about,
been on a roll. This is her second
you know
win
what made
in a row.
Me mad about this was Oksana beats Nikki on Raw. And then they do the even Steven here, and Nikki beats Oksana. And then back on Raw, Oksana's winning again.
Yeah, I got confused. I got my Raw and SmackDown.
It's like, why don't you just let her keep winning, you know? Do you really have to give... I know Nikki's John Cena's girl and everything, but I mean, if Oksana's on a roll for whatever reason, and God only knows what the reason is, but if she's on a roll, just let her be on the roll until she gets her title shot. Why'd you have to beat her here? And I love that Nikki and Abyss share a finish.
Yes.
It's great.
Big E Langston wrestled Curtis Axel. The announcers explained that a victory here would put Axel back in the hunt for the IC title. You think? There was an awesome spot where Axel tried a shoulder block off the middle rope, and Big E basically refused to go and just blasted Axel down to the mat.
Yeah, he's big and strong.
He is big and strong. So they had a short match, and Axel was able to avoid the big ending one time, but then Big E tried it again and won. And that was it. Pretty decisive win for Langston here, as it should be, is what I wrote.
We'll still see them wrestle approximately 9 million times over the next month, I would suspect.
Great. Well, not really great. That was a sarcastic great. They showed Lesnar returning on Raw, and then they had clips of Michael Cole interviewing Paul Heyman on the website. Heyman had the most awesome, quick... It was so concise. It was almost not good enough, but... Or I should say not good enough. It almost failed in its mission. But he had in one sentence, he wrapped up everything great about why Brock Lesnar had returned. Now that the championships have been unified with one man in the spotlight, that meant the belt was once again something worth fighting for.
I like it, but it's kind of funny.
Because before there had been, you didn't know which guy was on top.
Yeah, you just buried the last 10 years of WWE.
Yes. Which deserved to be buried.
Yeah.
If it'd be one thing if he had buried the status quo. But he buried what they had done until last month. Now there's one champion. That's a goal worthy of Brock Lesnar. He wants to be the one guy. He didn't want to have a second banana.
You know what's funny is at one point Brock was the one guy, but his one guyness
right.
has been completely erased from history. That's what Brock should be upset about.
He was the last one guy before there were two guys.
You idiots keep saying that this is the first ever I was the undisputed champion a decade ago.
Yeah.
Quit writing me out of history.
You just handed Hunter a belt.
Or I'll write you out of history.
That's right.
That's what we should say. Bad News Barrett.
Oh, yeah, Bad News Barrett. He gave a speech from his podium.
I got to talk about Bad News Barrett.
Have at it.
Did you see Raw where Ric Flair is just looking at it and he just can't believe his eyes?
Yes.
That's how I feel now when I see this thing. They arrive at the building. And by the way, I have an answer from many weeks ago at Raw. We went to Raw, and the Funkadactyls, their disco ball was above the ring. And Fandango's fiery gimmick was above the ring. You may recall the fiery gimmick was never used.
Mm-hmm.
So it was explained to me, and this should have been obvious, that many times the final Raw script is not done until late in the day. So the production people can't just sit around and wait for the script to be done. So they show up at the building, they get Fandango's fiery gimmick, and they go to all the trouble of hoisting that thing all the way above the ring, and then they just wait to see if it's needed.
Okay.
So I just am gobsmacked at the idea. And again, if you want to know why WWE Network needs a million subscribers, this has got to be one of the reasons. They go to the building, and they start to set up, and somebody or a number of people are paid to set up this wacky, rising out of the dust, Bad News Barrett podium. I mean, I can't even imagine. It's just mind-boggling to me. Like, they've got to set this thing up every time for the one-minute Bad News Barrett throwaway segment on this show. It's just absolutely astonishing. What a waste of time and money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that is just befuddled by this this use of resources?
Well, it doesn't bother me because it's not my money. They've wasted money on bigger stuff than this, than Barrett stage.
Well, they definitely have. And who came up with this idea? I got a great idea for Bad News Barrett. He'll be on a rising podium.
Well, here's the thing about, okay. The rising podium worked one time because it was the New Year's show and Booker T was out there. And then suddenly Barrett's podium began to rise slowly and no one knew what was going on. So they all stared at him. And everyone just had to wait for Bad News Barrett to get up there and then make his point. And that made it pretentious. That made it obnoxious. And that made it funny. Now, his music playing, he gets up there in a flash, and he just says, speaks his mind, and it's pointless.
I guess. I just wish I could be there in the creative meeting when someone's coming up with this great idea. We're going to have a rising podium for Bad News Barrett.
So Barrett's speech here was that fans can make all the resolutions they wanted. In a year's time, they would still be fat and unproductive. I don't know what this gimmick could possibly lead to, I wrote. And the main event was CM Punk and the Usos against the Shield. As always, we said for years, the main event of every show should be a six-man tag, and they finally listened, and look how awesome it turned out to be. So the key point was Punk got a hot tag and was running wild on Ambrose. And then Ambrose cut Punk off. And Reigns in the corner was screaming at Ambrose to tag out. But Ambrose refused. Kept trying to win on his own. And finally, Reigns came in and interfere. But to make a long story short, they kept getting in each other's way. And Punk was finally able to pin Ambrose with a go to sleep. But Rollins was trying to calm Reigns down afterwards. Ambrose just disappeared. Reigns was stormed off. Not a happy camper.
Reigns was very upset.
Yep. He clearly blaming Ambrose for the defeat.
Well, he does keep screwing up every time they have a match.
Yes. And then the last thing in the show was a brief Bray Wyatt video back from the farm. Or the barn, or whatever you want to call it. He said all kinds of weird things, such as that fate always got her way. Now Brian had a home. He would not hear the fans anymore. He would only hear Bray's truth. I thought it was kind of wacky to stick this video in at the end, but other than that, I enjoyed this show.
I'm sure you have seen the Daniel Bryan yes chant at the Michigan State game.
I just saw this video on your front page. Is that from the football game on New Year's Day?
This says Tuesday night. This was tonight. Michigan versus Ohio State. I'll play it here.
Okay. They were at the basketball game.
There you go.
The football team won their game on New Year's Day. And afterwards, there was a big giant dance party in the locker room. And someone sent me a link saying, hey, look, Yes Chance. And it's like a 3 or 4 or 5 minute video. And there's Yes Chance at the very end. And it's not even close to the best part. The best part is, you know, it's a bunch of 18, 19, 20 year old dudes just won their giant game. And there's loud music playing. They start a dance circle. And some guys are cool and everyone likes them. And some guys are funny and everyone likes them. And they start bringing in like children and old women to dance. It's the most awesome thing ever. And then at the very end, they start doing the Yes Chance. So,
well, thank God they killed those off.
They didn't. They were, sure they did. They were Yes Chance on Raw.
Hey, the rate this is going, not for long. Kyle here says, for the money spent on the Barrett podium, give it to Barrett as a bonus and give the guy a real push. They actually do, apparently something with Barrett is going to happen in the next couple of weeks. I don't know
weeks!
If you could, I don't know if you can call it a big push, but apparently they at least have an opponent for him for whatever he's going to do next.
Main event.
It may be main event. The Barrett podium. The hashtag is F4W Live, everybody, if you want to join in a little chat that people are having up there. Hashtag F4W Live. And you can send me tweets at Brian Alvarez. By the way, what's today, everybody? What is it, Vinny?
Tuesday.
Today is the day that they announced the WWE Network. Today is the day they make the big announcement.
So it's Wednesday in the East Coast, yes.
Yeah, they're going to make the announcement. 9:30 p.m. Eastern, Las Vegas. Dave and I will be there. It has been spoiled, and thank God it was spoiled because I bought a ticket to fly to Vegas, which was not cheap based on when I bought it. And actually, I tried about 2 weeks ago, and because CES is going on, it was impossible to get a ticket. But I did manage to get one, and I bought it, and then this was like maybe a week ago, and somebody there said, are you sure it's the announcement? And I was like, oh, dear God. If I buy a ticket and I go all the way to Las Vegas and the
announcement is coming to Vegas.
We got a new downloadable character for WWE 2K14.
Yeah.
I would have been very upset. But they spoiled their own announcement on their own corporate site today when somebody accidentally updated it with WWE Network announcement. And then within about 10 minutes, it was changed to WWE Live or something like that. So at least we know what it is. It is a WWE Network announcement. And by the way, I gotta get this off my chest. This has nothing to do with anything, but I just remembered it, and I do not want this show to end without talking about this. By the way, we got open presents, Vinny. That's another. It's another good thing.
By the way, is going on right now.
Yeah. Well, why don't you go grab two presents, and I'll get started on my story.
Do your speech.
As everybody is well aware, we have threatened to not do a Christmas show next year because Vinny nearly died. And we're in our late 30s now, and this is not healthy behavior. But many people want us to keep doing it. Well, I can tell you right now that there is a strong possibility that Christmas show or not, I will not allow anybody to send presents next year. I went to the post office on Monday, and I was going to go to the post office before we were going to do the live show at 5 Eastern. So I went to the post office, and I figured I'm just going to go check the P.O. box and then go back and do the show. We're not going to do all of them, Vinny. Just bring a few. We'll do the rest of them later. So I go there, and I open up the P.O. box, 426 in lovely Woodinville, Washington, 98072, and there is a little green piece of paper in there. And the little green piece of paper says, "Article too large for your box." Which ain't the first time Vinny's heard that. So,
wait, what?
I decide, all right, I'll go pick it up. This can't be that bad. I'm sure it's a late Christmas present from the Christmas show. So I go into the post office, and the line is out the door. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? Why is the line out the door? I hate the post office. So what happened was there are five windows at the post office, and there are only two employees working. So three of the windows are just empty with a little sign that says, try next window. So there are two employees working, and then there's a line of people out the door. So I got in line and I thought, well, you know, maybe these two people at the window will be quick. Of course, I was incorrect. The bigger issue was that the people mailing stuff were not making this any easier for the people behind the window. One guy decided that he was going to mail a whole bunch of books. He had like five boxes of books. He was a skinny guy. He could barely even lift the boxes. He had like five boxes of books, and apparently he decided that he was going to, I swear to God, he was going to mail the books in a box that previously had contained canisters of compressed gas or something. I don't even know what, but whatever was in the boxes before was dangerous. And so they're like, you know, you're going to have to cover this box up completely before we're going to mail this. I mean, you can't have flammable on the side of this box. We're not just going to put it in the mail. So this guy gets a marker, and one by one on like nine giant boxes, he's just kind of, he's coloring over all of these flammables right there at the front of the line, holding up a line of about 25 people. But that's not all. What do you think the other person was mailing, Vinny? Take a wild guess.
Hedgehogs.
Fucking chickens.
Really? That was close.
You think I'm making this up?
You're mailing live chickens?
Mailing live chickens. Mailing live chickens. They were in little boxes that said something to the effect of, what did it say? It said something like miniature living compartment or something like that. It's a box. It's not a miniature living environment. It is a box with holes in it. And you can hear chickens inside. Now, if anybody listening can explain to me why you would need to mail chickens, maybe I'll give you $54.95. Because I have no goddamn idea why you would need to mail chickens.
You know, it's kind of a universal truth about chickens. They're not hard to find.
No, they're not hard to find at all. And if I had a prize chicken, if I had a special chicken, I would not put it in the mail. Especially through the U.S. Postal Service. So this other person is mailing chickens. One person is mailing books in a box that they're not allowed to send through the mail because it has all of this danger warnings on it. And another person is mailing chickens. About 95 people in line. So, you know, I just waited in line like a complete idiot. Because, I don't know. I don't even know why. Because I'm an idiot. I honest to God have no reason why I waited in line except I'm an idiot. And I didn't want to come back later. Because someone might have been trying to mail, like, a jet. So I wait in line, and there are these fucking chickens clock in, and this idiot can't figure out how to mail his books, and I'm just waiting there. And sometimes the guy will come by and say, is anybody here to pick anything up? Of course, that guy never came by. No. Waited there in line. So I finally get to the front of the line and I hand the person my card and they said, oh, 426. Hold on a second. And so they go to the back, which is always my favorite part because now I'm the guy. I'm standing there at the window. I've sent the teller to the back. There's 95 people behind me and nobody's moving. So I wait and I wait and I wait and I'm looking at the clock. And I'm like, come on, I got to get back. For once in my life, I'm doing shows live. I'm on a schedule. Can you get my goddamn package? So as God is my witness, they come back and they go, nothing there. We can't find it. Maybe you already picked it up, they said.
What?
Yeah. And so I left with no package. So, as we open these presents, everybody, if your present never gets opened, for once, it's not my fault. I tried. Your present has been lost in the mail. In fact, it may be delivered back to you with chicken feathers, for all I know. But apparently, I'm never going to get it. So as I left, I made the determination that I will never go to the post office again. So either I'm going to find some sort of lackey who will go to the post office for me, or I will never, ever get mail there again. I'm putting my foot down. I've had it with the post office. I don't need to do this anymore. So yeah, next year, it's doubtful we'll be doing gifts. Because I'm not going to the... I'm certainly not ever going there during Christmas season again. So with that said, Vinny, open a present.
I have a suggestion.
Ho, ho, ho!
I have a suggestion. Move to North Bend.
Oh, really? What's in North Bend?
Nobody. That's the point.
I see. Like Woodinville is a bustling metropolis?
Dude, Woodinville's crammed with people. It's dense. That's why I hate going there. North Bend, the post office, we have a P.O. box, and often... we get notes saying, hey, you have to go. Package is too large. You have to go get it. And I have never seen more than one person working there. I have never seen more than three people in line. And the exception of the Saturday before Christmas. That was busy. But and I have never waited more than like 10 minutes.
Well, lucky you.
Yeah.
In fact, Jason from BC here, the legend, says just have them use FedEx. That's not a bad idea. In fact, I'm so upset with the post office that I've been doing all of my mailings via FedEx, which is not cheap, but it's worth it when you're 38 and as you get older, you're at a higher risk of stroke and heart attack. I'm just going to the FedEx place and I'll pay the money for my health. Open a present.
All right. Now, some of these have been opened. I knocked my phone on the floor. So that's why I was hesitating, but this is from Martz in Kennesaw, Georgia.
From who?
Martz. That's all it says on the outside. There's a note.
I do feel better after getting that off my chest.
All right, there's a somewhat long letter. I'm going to try to breeze through this. Brian and Vinny, a small token of gratitude for watching all of this shit, so we don't have to. I hope you are enjoying the beer. It is from the small brewery we work at just outside of Atlanta.
They sent liquor?
They sent beer, apparently in a box. This is violate laws.
Well, if you can mail a chicken, I don't see the problem with the beer.
The painting is from an artist in Nashville who did some artwork for some other beer labels of ours. So please give Mr. Tim Hooper a shout out. Way to go, Tim Hooper.
Tim Hooper, you're a trooper.
And tell people to check out the Burnt Hickory Brewery on Facebook. Hope you enjoy the Lightning Hopkins painting and can't wait to meet you guys in New Orleans.
A Lightning Hopkins painting?
Apparently that's in here.
Really?
So Vinny, if you don't make it to WrestleMania, we will travel all the way to Seattle to ruin your wedding. That's a new one.
It's a threat.
You need to see and get drunk in New Orleans while you're still single. Thanks again, Chris and Colin Martz.
Oh, dear God. Dakota Sports FM just tweeted, mail order chickens. This is from National Geographic. U.S. Postal Service ships live birds by the thousands. Some people want fresh eggs or poultry. Others just want a quirky pet. Whatever the reason, just about any U.S. resident can get live young chickens in the mail. If you have a zip code, we can get them there. Said, I swear to God, Murray McMurray, the owner of the McMurray Hatchery in Webster City. The company mails 200,000 one-day-old chickens a week. Controversial business, it says here.
All right, we have a bottle of Noggin Knocker Rum Barrel Aged Eggnog Milk Stout. That sounds delicious.
Noggin Knocker.
That may be it. Maybe one bottle of beer.
Where's the Lightning Hopkins thing?
That must be this.
Oh! Let me see that.
Is that Lightning Hopkins?
Yeah, that's Lightning, you idiot.
I don't know what Lightning Hopkins looks like.
Man, look at that.
Well, thank you, Martz Brothers.
Look at that.
There's also a business card here for Mr. Hooper Art at MrHooperArt.com.
Okay, that's just about the coolest thing I've ever seen. Hold on. I'm going to take a picture of this and put it on Twitter.
All right. Now, don't you feel bad telling people not to send presents?
I do apologize, everybody. I feel better after my my outrage, but we're going to have to find a system for next year because I'm just not going to the post office. I refuse. All right, I'm going to send this thing out on Twitter here. Come over here and open one of these, Vinny, while I go about some business. This is very important. It's important that everyone sees. Who sent this to me?
The Mars Brothers. Here.
No, Cooper?
Oh, Mr. Hooper Art.
Mr. Hooper?
This is business card.
Oh, look at that. Mr. Hooper Art.
I told you that.
Well, sometimes I'm doing other things. You can go to MrHooperArt.com. Did you mention that too?
Yes.
Good job, Minnie. Thank you, Mr. Hooper. Look at that.
Robert J. Pinnell III says, got to see the Hopkins poster.
Look at this awesome poster from MrHooperArt.com. He's getting a big plug here. MrHooperArt.com.
All right, this gift is from Ben Haggerty in Seattle, Washington. There's a sticker that reads, and I quote, Shark Face Gang.
Shark Face Gang.
That's what it says.
F4W Live comes up as a suggestion when I put in F. That's awesome.
Appears to be a t-shirt.
Probably doesn't mean much. Probably means something I'm doing. All right. It is now on Twitter, everybody, if you want to see this awesome Lightning Hopkins deal.
This is a medium t-shirt, so you can have it.
I actually wear a medium.
Well, it's a shirt.
You sound excited.
There's a hippie in the middle holding a flag reading, and we danced. There's a robot whose chest reads awesome, and he's saying, zibbidiwebop bada bop.
It sounds like an awesome shirt.
There's someone riding a dolphin reading, and we danced. There's a drawing of a fox, and it says, liberate the fox in me. There is a boombox. There is the word Raven Bowie.
Where am I going to put my poster here?
A nude woman who says, I will not be a mannequin. There is, down at the bottom here, it reads, can I read this?
I don't know. Can you read it?
The cat, the phrase at the bottom reads, it's big, long, pink, strong, and known to dance like all night long.
Mm.
This is your shirt, dude. Thank you, Ben Haggerty.
Thanks, Ben.
That's one hell of a shirt. Ready?
Yeah, throw it. Look at that. I'll wear that.
All right.
I'll wear that to the gym. I don't care. Ben Haggerty? Is that right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you, Ben. I'm trying to get Granny to listen live. We've got a new link. But she's afraid to try. I'm gonna tell her to please try. All right, should I open one?
Sure. I put one over there, didn't I?
All right, let's do one more, and then we'll do Raw. Hold on, everybody.
Yeah, did your wife open some of these just to make sure there was no, food? Which isn't a terrible idea, by the way.
There is food. There's a bunch of two-week-old Christmas cookies.
Sweet.
Oops! I done did it this time. Literally, sugar just shot up in the air like a bomb went off. Right, let me read this. Brian and Vinny, enclosed are some Christmas cookies for you to enjoy. Oops. We tried to make some look like wrestlers for some added laughs. Thanks for another year of entertainment. Have a wonderful holiday season. That is from Drew Gage and Mary Schless. And it says, Brian, I hope this makes up for the mishap earlier this year when I sent the photo of the TNA announcers watching football. What?
don't know that name.
Drew Gage?
Yeah, didn't we used to wrestle with him?
I think that might have been another...
There are multiple Drew Gages?
Sure.
Disposable Youth Drew Gage.
Really?
That was...
Is that...
I don't know if...
Drew, if you're listening, are you the same Drew Gage that we used to wrestle with? And if you are, I'm baffled that I haven't figured that out till today. He just sent me, by the way, a VHS. World's Greatest Wrestling Series. Tag Team Title Wave. With Terry the Hulk Boulder, Randy Savage Macho Man, The Anvil, and Ravishing Rick Rude. Feel the heat. Get ready to be swept away by a giant tidal wave of energy from these legendary wrestling arenas. We got Randy Savage and Lanny Poffo against the Rock and Roll Express. Rick Rude, Jim Neidhart, Ox Baker, and the Japanese Assassin versus Robert Reed, not Robert Rude, obviously. Tiger Mask, Keith Eric, and Mad Dog. The Road Warriors against Austin Idol and Jerry Lawler. And unbelievable footage, it says, of Hulk Hogan wrestling in 1976 as Terry the Hulk Boulder versus The Outlaw.
We should watch this.
30 minutes! Watch it on what?
Oh, it's a DVD. Oh, it's a tape.
I'd have to... Did I say DVD?
I wasn't listening. You may have.
It is a video cassette. I would have to go to a museum to watch this at this point. Or Dave's house. One or the other. Well, there you go. Thank you very much, Drew. Sorry about the cookies. Speaking of mishaps.
Yeah, that's my fault for getting drunk and ruining the show.
Well, I don't think that's why we didn't open that present. We got a few more, everybody. We'll open those on the next show. But thanks so much, everybody, so far. And again, if your present never gets open, you know where it is. It's with the chickens.
That's right.
Raw.
Monday Night Raw. It was old school Raw. Ric Flair came out for a promo.
That was a fun little excursion, by the way, right there we just had.
See? It all worked out. They showed pictures of him giving his pep talk to the San Francisco 49ers. This was so old school for Flair that he cut this entire promo in sunglasses, which he has not done in a long time.
You know what's funny about him in sunglasses? He came out in sunglasses, and usually old guys wear sunglasses because they're, someone just suggested they were cookies full of anthrax. That's why the big white thing flew up. I hope not.
Anthrax cookies.
Old people often wear sunglasses because they got all the wrinkles and such around their eyes, and so if you wear sunglasses, you look younger. But strangely enough, Flair looked at least 25 years older with the sunglasses on than when he took them off, I thought.
Somebody just sent us a note here. I didn't know this. I'm assuming this is not the same guy. I'm assuming it's a rib, but Ben Haggerty is Macklemore's real name.
Really?
Yeah. And Sharkface Gang are his fans.
So what? Macklemore sent me a Christmas present? What are you saying?
That's what we were to believe, yes.
Which one did he send me?
The shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. It's not impossible. I'd be surprised.
Uh-oh.
Did you get cookies and anthrax dust on it?
Hold on a second. Witty!
Were we not supposed to open this on the air?
I think this is something for her.
Well, it's a good thing the show isn't live. Oh, wait!
Oops. All right, you take over for a second.
I'll talk about Raw while you go save your marriage. All right. So, yeah, Ric Flair, they showed him giving his pep talk to the San Francisco 49ers.
You're lucky you did a Google search.
Who, by the way...
I thought it was for me. I'm
sorry. It's quite distracting.
You told me all about it. I was going to wear it to the gym.
When he's appalled that Brian was going to wear a girl shirt to the gym.
He's done it before.
Okay, she's gone.
All right.
Okay, I'm glad that got settled.
That was a moment.
I'll say.
I thought Macklemore sent me a Christmas present. If you hadn't mentioned that, I honest to God would have worn that. She would have wondered forever where her shirt was. Did not put two and two together.
No. Frankly, I still haven't, but I'm just going to move on. So Flair came out and said nothing, but he was Ric Flair, and so it was awesome. Orton interrupted. He had a big hug, but Orton was very respectful. But then he said this show was not about all the legends. It was all about him. He liked Rick. So he was going to allow Rick a chance to step aside so Orton could speak his mind. So Flair just backed up and smirked.
Go ahead.
Orton talked about Stephanie booking himself against Cena in the Rumble. She did this without consulting him first. He claimed he had beaten Cena already, so Cena did not deserve a rematch. I have totally lost my place in my notes
here. Well, I'll just read some of these tweets.
All right.
Stop judging the chicken mailers.
Okay.
Ryan says you're three steps away from living in a bunker. That's actually true. Jorge here says, I used to work for the USPS. I saw baby chicks every day along with cases of crickets. Every night, never failed. Never knew why. Owen Sunseer says, if a chicken is someone's idea of a quirky pet, then they're just an asshole. Not a fan.
Hmm.
All right, go on.
So he says, Cena deserved no rematch. And Flair stepped up and said, look, back in my day, when you were world champion, that meant you wrestled every night, 7 days a week against the very best competition you could find. That's how good I was. That's how hard I worked. Norton said Flair had always been overrated. Asked him to leave. Flair refused. Said he and Hunter had picked Orton for Evolution because he was that talented, but he was also an immature punk, and he had never grown out of being an immature punk. And Orton dared him to fight, but before Flair had a chance to either get in a fight or back down, John Cena came out and essentially volunteered to fight for him. Norton backed away, and Flair was cackling, and then he and Cena celebrated, and that was the end of that.
How about that? This was just like a segment to waste time. That's what it was.
You don't say. Yeah. They cut to the announcers, who were wearing the old school mustard yellow and red jackets. And I also like that JBL took the time to don the classic Vince McMahon 1980s hairdo.
Granny got it to work, everybody.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. Looked good on him, actually. He looked like he should be the front man of a 50s band.
The jacket helped. They also mentioned that Jerry Lawler had been to the hospital, and if you wanted to hear how he was doing, you could get the app. That's disgusting. Get the app to find out if this guy lived or died, everybody.
Well, it was pretty disgusting, but he had indigestion. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would have been, you know, if he would actually...
Did they know that when this aired?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, he made it back by then.
Yeah. He was back in the building begging to be on the air.
I see.
He'd already been interviewed by the app. So he was fine. I mean, if it would have actually been a heart issue and they'd done this, I mean, I can't say I would have boycotted WWE because it is my job, but I would have been significantly more upset than the fact that he had indigestion.
Okay. And the fact that they knew he was okay by the start of the show, that also changes things.
They were considering putting him on the air.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Rey Mysterio and the Usos against the Wyatt family. There was not even an entrance for the good guys. And the Wyatts came out with Bryan. The fans were chanting no. They were chanting his name. He tagged in early against Rey. And I'm pretty sure they matched him up against Rey because Rey is like the one guy in the roster who could actually get sympathy when Daniel Bryan beat him up.
Maybe indigestion is not the right term. He had food poisoning and was sick.
That's worse.
But it was not a heart issue.
But it was not an issue with his heart, which had previously caused him to die on live TV.
Yes.
So... a bunch of dives happened during the break. You could also see that on the app. Every time Bryan threw a kick, fans were still chanting yes for him. They also cheered for Ray when he got his hot tag. And Rowan dodged a splash, and then Bryan tagged himself in. But when he stepped through, Harper tagged himself in. So they couldn't even get through one match as a unified team. And then Harper was immediately pinned by an Uso with a roll-up. And, by the way, the Usos losing weight, slimming down, and bad guys were all upset, especially Bray Wyatt was upset with Luke Harper. So there you go. They announced that Batista would be in the Royal Rumble this year. Fans could vote for the guest referee for the Damian Sandow Great Khali rematch that we've all been longing for.
Yes.
And the choices were Sergeant Slaughter, Arn Anderson, or Bob Backlund, who I think here for the first time literally ever, I thought to myself, wow, Backlund's starting to get older. So
well, he is almost 65.
I know, but it took this long. Stayed remarkably fresh and young and vibrant and healthy. So they left, and in walked Glenn the Libertarian, who was never more of a Libertarian than he was in the segment. He gave Maddox a chance to repeat to his face what he had said last week when he was off the show. And Rad suggested that Glenn would hurt him, and Glenn cited by page number the WWE's code of conduct policy that determined he would be terminated if he laid his hands on another executive. But then he said if he was fired, long story short, there'd be nothing to stop him from killing Brad. And so he advised Brad to watch what he said to Hunter and Steph in the future. Big E Langston was walking backstage where he passed up Nikolai Volkov, Ted DiBiase Sr., and Bray Wyatt Sr. Curtis Axel wrestled Big E Langston again.
Feud will never end. This is the new Miz Kofi.
Except, I don't know if this is better, but at least here, it is better. At least here, one guy wins every time. So you've always got Curtis Axel going for that one win. But at some point, if you were Big E, wouldn't you want to fight somebody else?
Oh, yeah.
So.
Let me tell you.
Well, yeah. Ryback was on commentary, taking shots at Lillian Garcia, who's not even on the show.
I like Curtis Axel. I'm not saying anything negative about Curtis Axel and his wrestling. Except, if I were Big E Langston, I would not want to be chained down to wrestling Curtis Axel.
Yeah.
You're guaranteed to have nobody care.
That is not a shot at Curtis Axel. That's a shot at where Curtis Axel is on the card. So Ryback took shots at Big E, said he was stronger than Big E and Mark Henry, by the way. He said Big E needed a bra. And then he distracted Big E so Axel could get the heat. And I put that in finger quotes because it lasted exactly two moves. And then Langston hit a clothesline in the beginning for the win. And Ryback said he was still waiting for Big E to get over. Roddy Piper came out. His guests on Piper's Pit were The Shield. They came out immediately before he could even say anything. So Ambrose ran him down for a while. Piper ran Ambrose down for a while. And then he said, my body, essentially, not quoting here, but my body is broken, but my mind is still sharp. There's only one guy in this place who can match me in the microphone. And he looked in Dean's eyes and said, and his name is CM Punk. And Ambrose started to snap. And Rollins pulled him away. Rollins said Piper was jealous that Ambrose was a better U.S. champion than he'd ever been. And Dean started to strut around in his belt. Piper said, look, Ambrose, you couldn't beat CM Punk. Rollins, you couldn't beat CM Punk. So if Roman Reigns beat CM Punk tonight, does that prove he's the best guy on the team? And Rollins and Ambrose turned to Reigns. They told him, don't listen to any of this. And Reigns had just stood in the background this entire segment. And finally, he stepped forward and he said he vowed to beat Punk tonight, and he threatened to break Piper in half. And Ambrose and Rollins were giddy with the violence they were about to unleash on this old man when the weirdest trio I ever saw in my life came out. CM Punk and the New Age Outlaws.
Mm-hmm.
Just friends.
It's old school, dude.
I guess so. They all ran out to make the save. And the bad guys bailed, and that was it. And it was a very good segment. And you know who was really great here? Seth Rollins. For a year now in The Shield, he's been the...
You act like you're shocked.
Well, he promos have never been his strong point. His wrestling's been awesome.
I see.
But he's been fine. He's not like he's embarrassed himself. But he's been like the rest of the guys in The Shield. He's been the super intense badass. Here, he was more of a laid-back, cocky guy. And it was much more natural and fit him much better. So that was that.
You know, I got to go back and find out how to get this guy's win-loss record. There it is. Roman Reigns. In WWE, I guess this counts, doesn't count, like, doesn't separate singles and tag team matches. I can only think of one time ever that Roman Reigns has been beaten in WWE.
I believe he was the guy who actually got pinned when they lost their first match.
That was the one
which was
loss I can think he's had in his entire WWE career. You would think that they would bring that up at some point. See here. Regular singles. It just has a... if anybody can remember another time that Roman Reigns has been beaten, except for that one time, let me know. Because that's pretty impressive. That's a stat they should be bringing up. And also, it tells you how stupid they were for beating him one time. This man should be undefeated still.
Yeah.
At least as far as never having been pinned, but such is life.
They had a Brock Lesnar highlight video, which was the most awesome thing ever, because besides just the fact that it was Brock Lesnar killing people, They edited Brock's screaming into the background music. Amazing work. Amazing work. Alberto Del Rio versus Sin Cara. Sin Cara is a different guy, and he's wearing purple gear. So why are they still wrestling under blue and yellow lights?
I don't know.
What's the point?
You know, they
it's
going
to piss me off every time.
They do that, and they do Bad News Bear just to piss you off.
Okay.
And it makes me laugh every time.
All right.
I love it.
You know what? That's a reason.
It is a reason.
So good. So Sin Cara misses senton, and Del Rio hit a super kick for the win. And here is a good case of even Steven booking. And then Del Rio cut a promo saying that he was going to win the Rumble, and in the process, he was going to eliminate Batista from the match.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I would not put my money on Del Rio's chances. Wyatt family had a meeting backstage. Brian said, look, I joined you guys to learn, but I can also teach you.
That's for sure.
I can teach everyone. Yeah, I said he had been tag team champions with Kane, who was as big as either of them. He wanted to do a tag match with them next week to try to teach them how to wrestle like Kane. And then Bray arrived and said, that's not going to happen because you're teaming with me. Real Americans versus the Rhodes Brothers. At some point, Cody needs to wear face paint like his brother. Maybe do that at Mania if they make it as a team that long. So, this match ruled. It was, in fact, an old-school tag team match. It was great. Cody was crawling for the hot tag, and Cesaro ran across the ring and hit Goldust with a big boot and knocked him off the apron. And they wiped Goldust out for a minute or two, and then Swagger put Cody in the ankle lock, and Goldust returned and hit a big boot of his own to break it up. And he got a hot tag and ran wild, and eventually he pinned Swagger with a spinning suplex. This was a great TV tag match. DDP was backstage doing yoga.
Goldust got the job done again, by the way.
Indeed he did. DDP was backstage doing yoga and smiling. Booker T walked in. You've never seen a man so blatantly and unapologetically shill his product as DDP did here.
And this surprises you how?
It doesn't. I'm not surprised. I'm impressed. He's a great salesman. And they made jokes about being old until Ron Simmons walked in and said, damn.
Well, he's trying to get Booker to do yoga. And then Booker threw his back out breathing.
Which is what old men do. Damian Sandow wrestled Great Khali with a guest ref. Sergeant Slaughter got 55% of the vote. Arn got 30. Backlund got 15.
Are you surprised by this? I was. Dave wasn't. I thought Backlund was winning.
I might have been if you asked me before. If you just gave me these three names, I thought about it. And I realized it was a nationwide vote, not just the people in the arena, but when they put these three candidates in the screen backstage, the reaction was far greater for Sarge than either one.
Didn't Backlund almost win one of these a while back? Like, they had some sort of deal, and they put Backlund in there, and he almost won. Am I imagining things?
That's entirely possible.
Anyway.
So, Khali squashed him, hit him with a chop. Damien got a foot on the ropes. Sarge didn't care. Counter three anyway. Damien protested. Sarge put him in the Cobra Clutch. And then the only thing worthwhile was Sergeant Slaughter dancing with Khali and Ranjan Singh afterwards. Sarge needs to dance more.
I love how they had a screwed up botch finish. And now they're determined to convince us that it wasn't a screw up because it's part of a three match series.
Yes.
Poor Damian Sandow.
Yes,
but you know what? It was his fault. So he's getting what he deserves.
It's his fault that Khali's shoulder came up?
Yeah. Khali is completely immobile.
Yes.
And so you can't try to get his knees to touch his head when you cradle him.
I see.
He's going to roll over.
I see.
That's exactly what he did. He tried to stack him when he did this roll-up. And, of course, the dude's shoulder is going to come up. You're not cradling Dolph Ziggler. Cradling the great Khali. He doesn't bend that way.
He doesn't bend at all.
Yeah, so don't try to take him over that far. He paid. He's got to have a three-match series. Learned a lesson.
Brock Lesnar came out. He has a new shirt that reads, eat, sleep, conquer, repeat. I'm actually surprised he sleeps. JBL pointed out that last week, Brock Lesnar has declared himself the number one contender, and no one had argued. He just, through intimidation alone, dubbed himself the top guy. So Heyman repeated kind of what he had said in that SmackDown interview. He said what old school meant was one guy standing in the ring as champion, the undisputed best guy in the company, fighting a different guy every night, and being the main man. Reigning supreme is the expression he used. Like Bruno Sammartino had done, like Hulk Hogan had done, and Steve Austin had done. Said no one in pro wrestling, mixed martial arts, or any other sport could compete with Brock. Tried to get the crowd to repeat the mantra on Brock's shirt, but then Mark Henry arrived. They had a very brief brawl. It went as badly for Mark Henry this week as it did last week. Brock put him in the Kimura, got a maniacal look on his face, like more maniacal than usual. And then he snapped Henry's arm to the side, which they later said was a dislocation of the elbow. Heyman pulled Brock away. They started to leave until Big Show arrived. And Brock was surprised by this. And then he retreated to the ring and dared Big Show to join him. Show obliged. And then Heyman and Brock backed away. Then Heyman distracted Show so Lesnar could blindside him, but it didn't work. And Show pushed Lesnar back to the corner. And he tried to beel Brock across the ring, but their timing was off. So what happened essentially was Brock Lesnar, of his own free will, launched himself head over heels, doing a twisting corkscrew flip onto his stomach across the ring, and then tumbling to the floor.
Completely nuts.
So Brock Lesnar, for the record, is the biggest, scariest guy in the company and also takes the best bumps. And Heyman was able to pull Brock away. Brock is amazing, everybody.
He is amazing. He didn't get hurt. Nothing.
No. And because I'm a freak who watches this stuff, well, for a job and somewhat obsessively anyway, I remember the great Brock Lesnar-Big Show feud from 13 years ago, whatever it was, 12 years ago. But for most fans, I'm sure it's a brand new, fresh matchup.
Hey, everybody that is listening right now, did you all get kicked off 4 minutes ago? Go ahead and tweet me. I was kind of just sort of keeping an eye on the listeners, and all of a sudden I noticed we were down like tons of listeners. And I thought, did everyone just turn off the show? Did you say something that really...
Perhaps they grew tired of me.
But now I'm looking at everyone's listen time, and it's like a couple minutes. So something happened, and the stream kicked everybody off. I don't know why. So I will talk to Admin Tony. That is why we're here, trying to figure out what the hell's going on. I got 8 million people now texting or tweeting, telling me what happened. So sorry about that, everybody. I don't know what happened. But it'll be fine on the download. Nothing went wrong on this end, so I don't know what happened. Go on.
Maybe you finally broke the... You said you were trying to break it.
Yeah, I don't think I broke it. It just stopped. All right.
Bella Twins versus Oksana and Alicia. As always, JBL and Cole, when calling a women's match, completely zoned out and just started making jokes at each other and whatever was on their mind. And Cole called JBL Vampiro Americano. And I'd heard this name. I don't think I realized it was JBL, but I'd certainly never seen him in it. So I Googled it. Everyone go Google Vampiro Americano right now. You will see JBL with an epic blonde mullet, bad Ultimate Warrior makeup, and a black singlet. And he's giving a thumbs up, standing next to a Latin lover who looks about 8 years old. It's a fantastic photo.
Sounds like a Starbucks drink.
The Vampiro Americano?
Yeah.
I suppose it does. So Oksana managed to screw up getting pushed into and off of the ropes. And then Brie missed a dropkick and Oksana pinned her. So again, yes, even Steven booking. And yes, she pinned her after a missed dropkick. Three-man band versus Too Cool and Rikishi.
Oh, yeah.
Grandmaster Sexay is starting to look like his dad a lot. Scotty, too hotty, is now a fireman, and I think he's in better shape and has a better tan than when he was a regular on this show. When he hit the worm, this place went ballistic, although it was not the finish. And in fact, McIntyre no-sold it entirely and popped up and booted him in the face. Finally made a hot tag to Rikishi, who was bigger than ever.
I actually thought he looked better than ever. I think it must be just because he was wearing pants.
He did have the largest pair of leather pants I've ever seen. He tried a super kick and got Jinder in the shoulder. And then Grandmaster Sexay hit the top rope leg drop. Rikishi sat on Jinder and pinned him. And all the guys danced, just like the old days. This was fun. I'm glad three-man band is around so the legends can beat them up and get another moment in the sun.
That's right. So everyone did get kicked off. And Adam wants you to know that he really likes you and he didn't stop listening because of you.
Aw, thanks, Adam. That's one.
That's one.
So.
And apparently it dropped again. God damn it. What's going on here?
So they brought out all the legends one last time. Godfather came out with them. They played his music. Ric Flair was dancing to it, which was amazing. Each guy got introduced and the fans could cheer him. It was all very nice. And then Bad News Barrett arrived. He zipped his podium up into the sky. He ran down the legends for being washed up, said everyone would forget their names, and that was his bad news. And they cut to the announcers, and they were talking about what had just happened, and Cole casually noted that JBL wasn't too far away from being a legend himself. And JBL looked stunned, like this had never crossed his mind before, but he couldn't deny it. Which is funny. Because so many of those guys up on the stage are his peers.
Mm-hmm.
But it never occurred to him, holy cow, I am. Well, there's two ways of looking at it. I am a legend, and I am old. These are both true. And he looked overwhelmed by this realization. It was an epiphany moment for JBL live on TV. Speaking of old people, Mean Gene Okerlund came out, plugged his hotline. That was funny.
I thought the funniest part was when he plugged his hotline. Everybody sat there. Nobody laughed except the announcers. And so Mean Gene looked around and said, well, one person got it.
Yep.
Gene's awesome.
Gene is amazing. Then the New Age Outlaws came out. They did their shtick. Billy was blown up. JBL noted this. They brought out CM Punk, who came out in a Ribera Steakhouse jacket for old school Raw. I was hoping he'd have Zuba's pants too, but it was not to be. Then Punk and Reigns had what for a long time was just a very average match. And then Ambrose and Rollins tried to interfere, and they brawled with the New Age Outlaws. And from that point forward, everyone was totally into this. So it was like everyone knew the four guys on the floor were going to get involved, and they didn't care about anything until that point. And afterwards, they were totally into it. So they went back and forth for a while. There was one more distraction from Ambrose, and finally Reigns won with a spear. Rollins and Ambrose were ecstatic for their partner's win and were about to kill Punk when out came Jake the Snake Roberts, looking better than he has in decades. DDP is a miracle worker. Shield were just mystified by this, and then Punk and the Outlaws laid them out. Punk hit an old school airplane spin on Ambrose, and then they go to sleep. And Ambrose was prone to the ring. They put the snake on him. He was trying so hard not to laugh, and that's how Rob went off the air. So that was a fun show.
A fun old school Raw. Their idea now is that every year in January, right around this time, probably going to head-to-head with whatever game was Monday night. What game was Monday night?
The College Football National Championship.
All right. It's this the annual tradition will be head-to-head with the College National Championships is going to be old school Raw. And it did pay off for them. They got a great number going head-to-head with a gigantic game, apparently. So, there you go. All right, a couple of notes here before we wrap up. So, I put a thing up on the front page at 9 that was set to be there for an hour, telling everybody how to listen and how to access the stream. And for some reason, when that disappeared, everybody got kicked off. So, I apologize for that. I have absolutely no idea why that would happen. I'm baffled. But I will talk to Tony. And hopefully we will solve that issue in the future. So again, if you ever have issues with the stream, if weird stuff's happening, I have a few people here noting that they were kicked off a few times today. If this has happened to you, make sure you let me know. Some of it is inevitably going to be on your end. And some of it, what's so funny?
You're right. It just sounded funny.
Well, I know. I mean, some of it is on their end and some of it is on my end. The big one at 10 o'clock was definitely on my end. And I don't know what happened, but hopefully it never happens again. But we're working on it. It's a work in progress. And, again, spread the word. This is a free show, everybody. And so it will be up on the stream. And tomorrow, Wednesday, no live shows. Dave and I are going to be in Las Vegas. Our next live show will be another Brian and Vinny show on Thursday night, because I'm not going to be back in time to, I probably won't be able to do one on Thursday afternoon, depending on when the flight comes in. So for sure, Thursday night will be the next one. So be ready, everybody. And tweet me any issues you have. And again, if things happen on the stream, doesn't matter. The download is going to be available the next day. We'll just try and figure out what the heck is going on, because apparently a lot is going on. So thanks again, everybody. And we shall talk to you again after a while.
Adios.